Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Az here, another video from Fantasy Football Scout and also a podcast if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes or Google Podcasts or whatever other platform you are. Welcome. This is my team selection ahead of Game Week 9. As always, I kind of follow on from Black Box, where I talk a little bit about kind of who I'm thinking of bringing in, go into a bit more detail about who's on my watch list, who's in my thoughts and which players in my squad I'm looking to bin off. So hopefully some of you enjoy listening to my thoughts. A few people on Gianni's video asking what my rank is. You can see I'm ranked 2.8 million in the world. I did have a green arrow last week, so hopefully we can keep that kind of, well, keep that kind of momentum going and get a few more greens and break into the top million. That would be nice, wouldn't it? So hope you're all well and looking forward to the games at the weekend. I really am. I think there's amazing games, you know, all different ends of the league table as well. Brighton are going to have their first game against Liverpool under the new manager. So yeah, really excited to see kind of what happens. Before I get into my stuff, I just want to talk about Spitch, who are our sponsor for this video. You can see on the screen, Spitch is a kind of a season-long game that you can play. But what's amazing about it is that it takes your best five games from the season, and that creates your kind of top scores. So don't worry if you've missed the kind of you know, beginnings of the season and you want to get involved in it, you still can. There's a free-to-play game, which you can take part any time. You can see Varum Imaic is currently winning £1,700. Not bad, seeing as it's completely free to start with a £4,250 prize pool. And of course, there's a paid-for version as well, which is £8.50 to enter, but a much bigger prize pool of £85,000. And Varum Imaic is winning that as well. So he's having a banging start to the season. If you are looking to get involved, do be aware, if you're putting your own money into this, it is a form of gambling. So gambleaware.co.uk for all the facts about gambling. It's for 18+. Only. And if you don't know what Spitch is, essentially it's like fantasy football, but a bit more comprehensive in terms of the scoring. You earn points for pretty much everything across the games. Tackles, interceptions, saves, all that kind of stuff is all racks you up big scores. You can see here the top goalkeepers. You've got Dean Bradley Henderson, even though that was his middle name, but he's top with 1,681 points because there's a lot more points in it than the regular FPL. Raya, Pope, Saar all down there. If we're looking at defenders, you've got Cancelo right at the top, Van Dijk, Anderson, really interesting one for Palace. Obviously Palace haven't started that strongly defensively, but he's right up there. Silva, so again, this is a bit of difference in terms of the players you want to be considering. In midfield, you've got De Bruyne right at the top, Rodri, so your defensive midfielders do really well in this as well. Højbjerg and Neves, both over 2,000 points as well. So again, different way of thinking about which players you're selecting. And then strikers, no surprise, you've got Haaland, Kane, Jason, Mitrovic. So these ones are a little bit more like we're used to. So do give it a try. Be really to know what you all think about it as well. It's a new way of playing fantasy football, a way of winning some quite big money as well. And they're sponsoring the videos this season with Scout. And we're really happy to be partnered with them. So check them out. There's links in the description below. Right, let's talk about Game Week 8. So Game Week 8, a long time ago, it feels like. I got 60 points. I got about a million rank rise, which again, like I said, I was pretty happy with. Henderson with two. He's been a bit of a disaster since I brought him in. It's two games in which Forest have been leading now and looking sort of quite comfortable. And then as soon as the opposition scores, they just completely fall apart. So he's not making the saves that I kind of wanted him to make. They're obviously not keeping clean sheets. And the fixtures do turn sort of fairly soon. So, yeah, a little bit concerned about him. I had Diaz and Trippier both coming in with 6 and 5. Diaz has done all right for me since I brought him in. I think it's 2 clean sheets in 2. He's not going to hit the high ceiling of Cancelo, but he's sort of ticking over. Trippier I brought in ahead of Game Week 8. Wasn't expecting them to concede. They did, but then he got the assist. So it shows his capability of getting returns kind of both ends of the pitch. Emerson, oh God, I mean, he came on. I wasn't really expecting him to play with Creswell back, but he came on and got me 1 point, so I can't be too annoyed. They lost the game anyway, so it didn't really matter. Pereira with one. Disappointing, given that Notts Forest conceded. Also Mitrovic as well with two. So I got basically 5 points from my three players in that one game. Terrible. I bought in Maddison, who got 7. I bought in Kane, who I captained, who got 20. So happy with that. Marcelin Foden. Marcelin blanks Foden with the 8. And Haaland with just the 6. And a bench of Ward, Trent, Gross and Estupinan, 3 of which had no game. So yeah, decent week. I think 10 points above the average. Wasn't kind of huge. I mean, Kane over Haaland was the kind of big decision. Kind of made 4 points on that. So again, not groundbreaking. Finding it hard to kind of really find someone to move up the ranks. There are players that are doing it. I mean, if you had Son, for example, and he gets a hat-trick off the bench, you know, if you captained him, for example, you know, you're looking at catching up 40 points or 35 points on a lot of players. So there's clearly options that we can go for. I think if you've got Salah and you're holding on to Salah, I think he's going to be a really effective differential for you going forward. The Brighton home game looks really good, and I'll talk a bit more about Brighton in a bit. So I'm kind of relying on Kane to be that kind of slightly different maker, and someone like Foden maybe. Madison as well. I mean, a lot of people are buying him, but he's still kind of relatively low where I am. But kind of everyone else, I'm seeing in a lot of people's teams, Diaz kind of covers Cancelo. You know, everyone's got Trippier. It's, you know, it's hard to know exactly where my ground is going to be made up. But I'm not panicking. I'm happy with how the team is kind of set up and looks at the moment. You know, there's a few players who I'm kind of coveting who I'll talk about in the watch list. But for now, I think I'm reasonably well set up kind of going forward. What is interesting is I've got no premium mid. I can't remember never having someone like De Bruyne or a Son or a Salah to go for. I'm kind of going to be alternating that captaincy between Haaland and Kane. I will be looking at bringing Salah back in at some point. I think when City and Arsenal don't have that match, Liverpool have got West Ham at home, which looks like a good captaincy shout for Salah. So I might be looking to bring him in then. But for now, I'll be riding with, you know, my most expensive midfielder, about 8 million. So very different to how the season started and how other seasons have gone kind of in the past when Salah was, you know, absolute no-brainer. You have players like Son, players like Kevin De Bruyne, you know, even players like Hazard in past years. You've had so many premium options over the years, and to not have any of them just does seem really weird. But, you know, I think it just shows that, you know, at the moment, I think the strikers are kind of where the points are. When you've got strikers in points, they tend to be the guys to get the most goals. So I'm happy with Haaland, Kane and Mitrovic up top. And hopefully the fact that Haaland is just that perma-captain means I can spread that money a little bit more around. Let's take a look at the watch list then. So this has been updated ahead of game week 9. It's sorted by non-penalty XGI. I've added Perisic in. I'm still a bit kind of non-fussed by him. I mean, the rotation is obviously pretty big for him. He played for Croatia, played on the left wing, or really, really advanced as well. But his non-penalty XGI in the league is 0.37, which is the highest out of the other defenders like on my watch list. So it's higher than James, for example. But really, it's not approaching that 0.5, 0.6 mark. 0.6 is normally my cutoff for, okay, I need to really be considering looking at this guy. And the fact is, he is rotation you know, bound with Sessegnon there. The fact that Spurs' fixtures aren't that nice, I don't really feel like I need to move heaven enough to get him in at the moment. So I had him at the start of the season. He got me some points, but he's on my watch list. I want to see him kind of boost those numbers and take more shots, basically. He's not having enough shots, I think, to justify that kind of rotation. James is someone that I'm looking at, though. I think he's going to be a real option under Potter. I look at the rest of the team and I just don't know how things are going to be set up. I don't know which centre-backs he's going to favour. I don't know where Cucurella's going to play. I don't know if Chilwell's going to be a factor. I don't know if Sterling's going to end up at left wing-back. I don't know who's going to like up front. All these kind of question marks mean Chelsea are really, really difficult to predict. The one thing that we do know is that James is going to be a key cog in that side. And he will be playing at wing back, because there's absolutely no doubt about that. So I think he becomes a really important transfer with the fixtures that, that Chelsea have got. So if you haven't got him, I think you want to be kind of making moves to try and bring him in. Some of the other players I've got on defence, I mean, Dalot scored two goals for Portugal. Over the internationals, United looking better defensively with Varane and Martinez there. Once the City game's out of the way, their fixtures are okay. And at 4.5, I think he's great value. He's got the same non-penny XGI as Zinchenko, who I also really like, but he's kind of the injuries and things like that. And obviously Arsenal haven't got the game. So he's not someone I'll be looking to bring in kind of imminently, but he's someone that I really like, especially if he moves into this kind of midfield role. So I want to kind of assess him and just see kind of where he ends up. It's really interesting that Cancelo is so low down on this list. I mean, a non-penny XGI of 0.11 is ridiculously low. Shows a kind of a difference in how he's being used for Pep. He is going to get assists. He is going to get goals because he's that good that he just will create things. But it is a bit concerning that your 7.2 million defender kind of isn't really showing that the underlying stats are going to get him kind of big returns. So I've got Diaz. He kind of sat in the middle of Walker and Cancelo. I get the reliability there of the clean sheets. You know, Walker could miss a couple of games. They've got options there as well. So at the moment, I'm reasonably happy with that. But again, I want to monitor Cancelo because if I start seeing his role change and those numbers boosting, I think he becomes an absolute lock and for everyone's team. I won't go through all my midfielders. A lot of these kind of haven't really changed given that it wasn't the game. I've got De Bruyne in there, Antony, Sinisterra, who I'm going to mention, I think, every week on this and then probably never end up buying. I've added Son now. I think we wanted to see him get those first couple of goals and see where he's kind of go from there. I mean, he is one of Spurs' few kind of really world-class players. So I think his position in the team is going to be pretty secure. I think Richarlison and Kulusevski are going to be the one that rotate, like we all kind of predicted at the start of the season. I think now it's going to be the case of Son and Kane sort of vying for who's going to get the most goals. And actually, I think it's probably going to be Son. I mean, it's amazing that Son's now got 36 points with just that hat-trick when he had pretty much blanked in every other game. So he was only 4 points, I think, behind Salah now and looks a really good option. I've got Kane, so I probably won't be going there. But no, he's someone that I just want to continue to monitor because it might be that when the fixtures turn, he becomes kind of indispensable again. I've added Diaz as well. In fact, I've added him twice onto this table. So much I like him. I think, you know, with Salah maybe not as essential as he kind of was with Nunes and his kind of role in the team. You know, with Jota coming in, I think Diaz is the one that is definitely going to play. I mean, the 0.8 XGI of 0.37 puts him kind of right down the bottom of this list, ahead of only Bowen, below the likes of Trossard and Saka and Zaha, for example. But if you do want to tap into that Liverpool attack, you know, with Thiago back, then I think Diaz is probably the one that I'd look for out of all the options, kind of other than Salah, if you're looking to save a bit of money. So, yeah, I think he's going to carry on and have a really strong season.
This podcast is sponsored by Paramount Plus, where Champions League soccer is back. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration starts on September the 6th with the biggest stars and top teams across Europe. Watch every match from the group stage through to the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against the likes of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more. Don't miss a single second with Paramount Plus starting from September the 6th.
Forwards, I've added Gabriel Jesus in because I sold him last week. I mean, he really worries me not owning him. Non-penny XGI of 90 of 0.74. That's really, really, really high. I think he's been unlucky to only have 39 points so far, given how good Arsenal have been, the chance he's had and things like that. But he's leading the line absolutely superbly and absolute focal point for that side with all that creativity. The fixture tricky. I mean, it's Spurs, it's Liverpool, and it's a blank. After that, though, I think I'll probably be looking to bring him back. I don't want to, you know, not get him in just because everyone's got him because his ownership is so high. I know a lot of people are selling all their Arsenal assets at the moment. You know, Martinelli might be someone who you're looking at selling for someone like Sinisterra, maybe. Or if you've got the Arsenal defence, it's probably a good time to jump off. I think Jesus probably is the one Arsenal player, which if I didn't feel like I had to move him on, then I probably wouldn't do. I moved him on last week because I wanted to get Kane captain for that Leicester game. If you offered me a free transfer now of Kane back to Jesus, I'd probably take it, to be fair, and use the money elsewhere. So I think you've got Jesus. He's a pretty easy hold. Isak's injured, but, you know, non-penny XGI of 0.57 is really high. I want to see how he fares when Wilson comes in. If he's going to be shipped over to the wing, for example, he's not really an option. But if he continues to play up front, maybe the formation changes a bit, then I think he'll be gold. And then Tony, I mean, he's in there as well. I'm not massively sold on Tony. I won't be looking to break up my Haaland and Mitrovic partnership for sure. And then I think Kane, Jesus are higher on my watch list than Tony is. Obviously got the hat trick, 47 points, really higher than De Bruyne. I do wonder though if he's going to be able to carry that on, given kind of what I've seen from him. That non-penalty XGI per 90 of 0.45 is pretty low. It's less than someone like Zaha, for example, 0.53. It's equal with Saka, for example, Arsenal, who hasn't exactly set the world alight so far. So don't expect hat tricks every week from Tony, but obviously a pretty easy hold if you've got him. Let's take a look at my team then for this week. So I've got Henderson in goal, and I'll roll the dice with him. Trent, Diaz, Trippier, Foden, Madison, Marcelli, Pascal Gross, Haaland, Kane and Mitrovic. And then on my bench, I've got Ward, Emerson, Pereira and Estupiñán. So I've always got the two Brighton players. I did a bit of a speech on De Zerbi yesterday on Black Box, so I'm sure some of you have seen that, so I won't bore you again. If you do want to check that out, I'll put a link in the description. You can just head to that bit of the video and listen to what I think. The kind of too long didn't read part of it is I think De Zerbi is going to be a great appointment for us. I think he's going to build on the foundations that Potter have said, have set up. Really attacking manager. It's going to be a highly possession-based system. And I think, you know, our attacking players are really going to benefit and thrive from it at the cost of probably our defence. So I think if you've got Gross and you've got Trossard, maybe you've got March as well, I think they're easy holds, even with the fixtures, because we'll kind of be able to assess how quickly De Zerbi can implement the system. And they're all going to be key figures in that kind of attack as we look to kind of exploit space and push forward with lots of men on the ball. If you've got the defenders, if you've got Dunk, Webster, Veltman, Stupinan as well, I think they probably want to be quite high on your sale. So I'm looking at doing a Stupinan to James, I mentioned earlier. For example, I think that's a transfer that can't really go wrong, which always is a bit of a worry. But I think James, you know, with the fixtures and under Potter is a better option than our defenders kind of at the moment. So, as I said, if you're holding on to our kind of centre-backs, I really don't think they're going to be getting many points, either in the short term when our fixtures are really tough, or in the medium to long term under Zerbi, because he doesn't really do clean sheets, to be fair. Going through my kind of players, I mean, I've got Henderson, who, yeah, I mean, I'm probably not going to use a goalkeeper transfer. I don't want to have to do one. I think hopefully he can get back to making lots of saves. He does well in the bonus point system. So if Forest do manage to keep any clean sheets, he's going to get a big return. So yeah, I am a bit concerned with him, given that the Forest have been so poor. But I look around at the keepers and there's not a huge amount of keepers I really like the look of. I think Raya would probably be the one that I'd go for now if I had the choice. But Henderson's okay at 4.5 as well. So yeah, not too worried about that. Defenders, Trent, I know he's being sold by a lot of people. I'm keeping the faith. He's putting in more crosses than any other defender in the league. He's now got Nunez to aim at, a big target man. Crosses aren't penalised by the bonus point system. So the more crosses he puts in, the better. The higher his BPS, the more likely he's of getting bonus points. I think his assist potential is high. He's on the free kick still. I think Liverpool are going to be improved. I can see why people are going off him, and maybe moving to Cancelo or moving, you know, some of the money down. But for me, I've got much more pressing issues to deal with than selling Trent. So I'm happy to kind of keep him. Diaz as well, I've mentioned. I was actually talking to the world number one last year at the start of the season. He said one of his kind of master strokes was just bringing in Diaz for the whole season when he was kind of back in the team and just leaving him there and just enjoying those kind of six pointers. So, you know, for 6 million, I think he's probably going to reach about 140, 150 points, which is good value and probably someone I don't really need to deal with unless I feel like I really need to move for Cancelo, for example. So happy with Diaz. He's doing well. Hopefully get a couple of goals. You know, with the delivery they've got from corners and free kicks, I would kind of hope that he would get a few more attacking returns. But we'll see. Happy with him kind of for now. And Trippier, no worries with him. You know, attacking returns are coming. He's got free kicks. Newcastle, good defensive side. They've got some of their key players back as well. So, yeah, no danger. So, back line, relatively solid. Add James to it as well. I think I've got a decent four there kind of going forward. Looking at midfield, Foden, he's doing all right. His position in the team sort of determines whether I'm happy owning him or not. I think with Grealish in the team, Foden's a much better option. I think he's allowed to drift more centrally, get closer to the box, get closer to the goal. When Grealish isn't in the team and he's playing on the left, he plays very, very wide, which allows Cancelo to kind of come in through the middle. So that kind of element to him is a bit frustrating. I mean, I am impressed with how many minutes he's playing. For example, really does seem to have the trust of Pep, so I'm not too worried about that. He will find a place in the strongest 11 for City. But, you know, given they don't have the game in 12, given Liverpool are coming as well, he's probably going to be someone who's fairly close to leaving my side. I think he's got this game against United, then a game against Southampton, which look good, but then it would probably be on the chopping block, maybe for Zaha or maybe for Salah if I move to him. Madison, bought him in last week, bought him in for the kind of mid-term, long-term. One of my favourite players, a lot of people know, got the goal against Spurs, really happy with that. You know, wasn't really expecting too much from him, but, you know, a lot of people went for Bowen, for example, and I think Madison is the superior option kind of going forward. I'm expecting goals for Leicester in this match, and they've got great fixtures to come. So if Leicester are going to turn it around, it's all going to come through Madison. He seems to be the player with a bit between his teeth, really looking to kind of push him on and drive things on. So happy to own him. Martinelli, he's orange ringed now. If I had the option of moving him, I would for free. I think Sinisterra's nice. If I could move up to Zaha, for example, get a bit of extra money and find the money for Zaha, I would. I think it's a good time to sell him. It's Spurs, Liverpool blank. You know, we're not going to have too many opportunities to go against him. I think at the price that he is, we're going to want him back fairly soon after that blank because the fixtures are really nice. But he's definitely someone who, if I was wildcarding, I wouldn't have him on wildcard side. And if I had two free transfers, he'd be someone I'd be looking to lose, for sure. Gross, he's a bit of a wait and see. I'm expecting him to flourish under De Zerbi. I think that kind of attacking mid number 10 role is really important to him. De Zerbi is an ex number 10 himself. He likes to play with that kind of link between the attack and the kind of midfield. And Gross is going to be perfect for that. I mean, he could use McAllister kind of in that role. Casado could do it as well. Maybe they all kind of rotate and dip in and out. But I think it makes sense to use Gross as that kind of main link between them, given that his passing range and his vision and his kind of the chances he can create are going to be really important to unlocking our kind of attack. So he's a wait and see. I probably won't play him this week against Liverpool. I'm expecting goals in that match. But I'm happy to own him for some of the better fixtures that are coming, Forest and Brentford kind of on the horizon. Easy hold, I think, if you've got him. And Trossard as well. As like I said, if you've got Trossard, I think you hold. Then forward line, you know, really happy. Haaland, obviously, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be my captain this week. Kane, great record against Arsenal. Spurs looking good. Was a bit disappointed not to get more from him against Leicester, but, you know, you can't be too greedy. And then Mitrovic as well. I mean, he's got an ice pack on his leg, but he's going to be rolled out against Newcastle, even if he's got one leg. No danger about that. Hasn't scored against Newcastle yet in three appearances. But I'm sure he will be looking to get off the mark against them this season, given that he's scored so many goals for club and country kind of over the last year and a bit. So yeah, overall, kind of relatively happy. I think with James coming in, going back to four at the back, I think I'm looking kind of reasonably solid. I've got Gross that can come in if I need him. I've got Pereira on the bench, who's decent. You know, Emerson is someone who, if West Ham do decide to switch up their system and go back to, you know, a back three with wing backs, and Emerson comes in, I think he's an absolute steal at 4 million. I think he's worth the kind of risk just off the back of that, especially given that West Ham are having such a poor start. I think they need to kind of change things up a little bit, so we'll kind of see what happens. But that's pretty much me. easy move for me. I mean, I could move Gross to Zaha, but I want to give Gross a few games, see how he's used. So yeah, Stupinian, I think, is the kind of weakest link in this team. So he is moving for James. That's pretty much it from me. Hope that's been useful, or at least interesting, or slightly entertaining. Hope all your deliberations are going well. I'll be here tomorrow with the Q&A with Sam at 12, and then with the team news with Neil at 3. And good luck this weekend. Enjoy the football. It's great to have it back. And I will see you on the next video.